I want to talk about the Lord's last words in Psalm 31, verse 5. I mean, the last words of the Lord Jesus. When he says, "Into your hands I commend my spirit," that's a quote from Psalm 31, verse 5. And the psalm in that verse goes on, "You have redeemed me, O Yahweh, God of truth." And you wonder whether they were, in fact, the Lord's first words when he resurrected. But that's conjecture. Point is, he died with his last breath in his lungs, and then he breathes it out in the form of those words, "Into your hand I commend my spirit." Now, if you look at the so-called last sayings of the Lord chronologically, you find that the number of words that he uses runs something like this: 12, 9, 4, 3, 1, 1, 8. So you can see that the difficulty of speaking was getting harder and harder for the Lord. These seven last sayings of the Lord from the cross, as I say, they begin with a long statement and then go down until this last one. So the nature of crucifixion would have meant that taking every breath would have been extremely painful. And I suggest then that he breathes out his life, his spirit, in the form of those last words. He knew that once that breath in his lungs was out, that was it. And therefore he bowed his head in death. So then he commended or gave over, gave out and gave over his spirit. Now, what this means is that he died as an act of the will. Most people die against their will. It is coded into us, I think, to struggle to keep hold of life until that last breath. And he gave it rather than it being taken from him. Remember that Dallan Thomas poem, that men, dying men, go not gentle into that good night, but rage, rage against the dying of the light. But the Lord's death was altogether different. He gave his life. And this is the significance of what he says in John 10, where he says, "I lay down my life for the sheep. No man takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself." So his death was a conscious act of giving. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He gave his flesh for us, according to the imagery of the manna being given. That's what he says in John 6:51, that he gave his life. Isaiah 53:12, he poured out his soul unto death. He was the suffering servant who, Isaiah 53:10, who makes himself an offering for sin. That's why I think the centurion, when he saw how the Lord died, said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." That's Mark 15:39. So then, in the New Testament, there is a word that is used specifically about this giving over, this laying down, this breathing out of the Lord's life. And it's rendered yielded up, when we read that Christ yielded up the Spirit. And later in the New Testament, this was clearly in the mind of Paul when he says, "The Son of God loved me and gave himself for me," Galatians 2:20. That's the same term, gave himself. He has in mind this final, absolutely conscious giving of life. And we're asked to give our lives for others because, Paul says, Ephesians 5:2, "Walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself," this word for yielding up the Spirit. He has given himself for us, and we are to do the same. And so he says there, "Fornication, foolish talking, etc., shouldn't even be named amongst us, but rather giving of thanks." If you really see that he had such self-control and such love as to willfully give his life out in this sense. And this comes right into personal relationships. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself. This is the same word for this breathing out of his last breath. Love your wives as Christ loved us and gave himself for us. So all these ideas are of absolute self-control, of conscious giving, which is really higher than simply allowing yourself to be killed. There's something more in all this than simply allowing yourself to be killed. And again, Peter has it, 1 Peter 2, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who when he suffered threatened not, but committed himself, gave over, yielded up this last breath to him that judges righteously. The words of the psalm again are in view, that the Lord Jesus said, into your hands I commend, I commit my spirit. What you notice in these later New Testament allusions is that the death of Christ is seen as our real, realistic, living example. And we are to not simply see him there as if he was an icon, that, Christ died for our sins, but that he is a living inspiration to us in daily life. So the myriad moments of self-control, of conscious giving, not emotion, but conscious giving, conscious sacrificing of life, that make up family life, that make up personal life, that make up life in any communal sort of setting, be it a family, a church, a workplace, or whatever, this is the spirit of Christ and his death. So then it's not dull resignation, just accepting that, well, this is going to happen, the inevitable, that is death, is going to come to me, but willfully and willingly giving that life to him. No wonder, as I say, that the centurion, when he saw how the Lord died, after the Lord cried out, said, truly, this was the Son of God. And this is to be our characteristic, this willful giving out, not keeping for ourselves, but giving out. And as I say, this explains the Lord's whole teaching in John 10, that no one takes my life from me. In this sense, the Lord was not murdered, but he gave his life for us. And Paul and we should marvel at that, that on a completely personal level, the Son of God loved me and gave himself up, gave himself out in that last breath for me.